Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Our guest on today's Edgewise is Dave Gray. Dave is founder of X-Plane, a visual thinking company, and he's also partner in the Dachis Group, a social business consultancy. Dave's time is spent researching and writing on visual business, as well as speaking, coaching, and delivering workshops to educators, corporate clients, and the public. He is a founding member of VizThink, an international community of visual thinkers. Dave is the co-author with Sonny Brown and James Macanufo of the new book, Gamestorming, a playbook for innovators, rule breakers, and change makers. Sonny's the owner of Brightspot Info Design, a company specializing in visual thinking to support organizational and group success. James helps large technology and government clients develop their vision, strategy, and communication plans. He is actively obsessed with understanding what things are, the way they work, and why they matter. He's also an active gamer and occasional inventor of card games. Dave Gray, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Dave.
So the title of the book is Gamestorming. All right, obvious question. What is Gamestorming?
Gamestorming is a practice that emerged in the 60s and 70s in Silicon Valley when a lot of these technology companies were forming. Xerox had their Palo Alto Research Institute. People were trying to figure out how to work with ideas and digital technologies and how to design for this new world that now we know as the PC and the internet and the Macintosh and so forth. It wasn't called Gamestorming at the time, but it's been evolving ever since. And we tacked the name Gamestorming onto it because we were trying to figure out what to call this whole set of practices for group creativity and group design.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's talk about the significance of the invention of the Post-it note and its contribution to Gamestorming.
The Post-it note was invented around that time. It was invented by two people.
Mm-hmm.
They were both 3M employees. One guy invented this low-tack adhesive, and he was trying to figure out how to sell it. The other guy sung in a church choir and didn't want to mess up his hymnal, but he found he could put this low-tack adhesive onto slips of paper, and he could mark sections of the book. They finally figured out that it was useful in offices. And what's powerful about sticky notes is they're very small, they're very tangible, they can hold information, and we can manipulate that information and move it around, much like we can move pieces around on a game board. One of the core elements of Gamestorming is taking information that's very abstract, the kind of thing that you hold in your mind in a typical meeting, making it tangible and putting it out into the world so you can actually have information landscapes.
Right.
So sticky notes, index cards, working like game pieces or playing cards, whiteboards operating like game boards where you can move information around and rearrange it and just basically think with your hands. It's a big part of why we chose to call it Gamestorming.
Dave, everyone seems to talk about innovation, but it seems like many, many innovation initiatives fall flat. Now, do you think Gamestorming could be the magic bullet for innovation?
I'm sure there's no magic bullet for innovation. If there was a reliable, predictable process for innovation, we would have had it by now. The problem is, in the last 100 years or so, with manufacturing, mass production, and all these things, we got so focused on process and efficiency that we forgot process and efficiency do not solve every problem. If you're trying to make 1,000 cars very efficiently, a linear process and assembly line is a great way to get there. But if you're Nokia and you need to come up with something better than the iPhone, there's just no business process. There's no linear assembly line process that will get you there. You need to be creative.
Okay, so what makes Gamestorming so different?
What's different about Gamestorming is it's not a process. It's a toolkit, a whole set of approaches to creative and collaborative thinking.
Uh-huh.
For a lot of people in business and a lot of companies, the creative department or the creative group or the design group or the R&D group, it's a black box. And you don't want to look inside because you know their job is to come up with creative ideas and it's a little bit scary. Usually it's messy. There's stuff all over the place. People don't really look like they're working. But the fact is, there is a process. There's a method to that creative madness. And what we've attempted to do is try to understand what's the underlying message and how can we make it accessible to everybody, even people who might not call themselves creative workers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think a big issue with a lot of creative pursuits, whether it's specifically related to innovation or just general creative stuff that people have to do, is systematizing. And also the fear that there's really no way to scale creativity.
That's to some degree true and to some degree a myth that has been propagated by people who are creative. There's nothing more terrifying to a lot of creative people than to think they might have to reveal their creative process and maybe in some way diminish their value. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, the creative challenges are so big, it's very hard to be a Leonardo da Vinci and sit in your studio worried about the camel is an animal designed by committee.
Right.
So I have had criticism from people who say, you're basically taking this process that really is about intuition and magic, and you're turning it into something where you're going to come up with a lot of horrible products because we're designing by committee.
And what is your response to that?
There's some value to that criticism in the sense that design needs leadership. But unless you're going to design something that you have a lot of expertise in, increasingly the value comes from people learning from other people who have expertise in other disciplines. When you have something like a phone where you can take video, we do our email, we do our web browsing, more and more innovation comes from the cross-disciplinary conversations and interactions.
Okay, so creating an environment for creative thinking and innovation can be a daunting challenge.
Yes.
So what does it take to bring brainstorming into a team or an organization?
We've designed our organizations intentionally to be efficient, and even our offices are designed a lot like the industrial age factory in the sense that we want to make efficient handoffs and put people in cubicles and all those things. So embedded in the fabric and infrastructure of our workplaces are barriers to creativity that are so familiar and so common, you don't even see them sometimes.
That's an interesting point. So what exactly did that suggest?
As we were sitting down to think about the principles of the book, one of the most important factors was to make sure that everything in the book was something you could do just with things you could find in your typical office supply closet. Index cards, sticky notes, paper, flip charts, markers, whiteboards. One of the best things about gamesforming is it doesn't cost any money to get started.
Right.
It doesn't require a budget. It doesn't require going to someone in authority to sign off on it. You can start with a very small group of people. All you need is a conference room and a willingness among the group to try something new. Yes, there are lots of barriers to creative thinking and innovation in companies, but we see gamesforming as something that can be grown from the bottom up in a grassroots fashion and something that can be advocated from the top by example.
Right. Now, Dave, it seems you've gone out of your way to make the illustrations as what I'll call low fidelity as possible. What's behind that?
This is a low-tech, low-fidelity movement. It's ironic when you think about it that this whole way of working started in Silicon Valley, and these are the people who invented high technology.
Right.
If you go into many of these offices today, you go into the offices of Yahoo, eBay, Microsoft, Google, you'd be surprised at the amount of paper still being used.
Mm-hmm.
As high tech as the stuff is that's developed at the end, the process by which people design and think about the stuff is still very, very simple, very low tech. It's pen and paper.
All right. People are going to want to look for practical benefits.
Yes.
Does brainstorming lead to shorter, more productive meetings?
Yes, meetings are more productive when people are fully engaged, when they're enjoying their work, especially creative work.
Of course.
You can't force people to be creative. They have to be engaged, intrinsically motivated. And brainstorming does that. It gets people's whole person involved in the work. It energizes them. It gets their passion going. Sometimes the meetings will actually be longer because people are enjoying themselves and they want to continue. But generally speaking, when you're not using sticky notes and drawings and other things to track the information you're discussing in a meeting, people have to hold all that information in their heads, and it's a lot of work.
Ooh, no kidding.
People spend so much of their energy tracking all that information and trying to keep their mind on what's going on that they can't really focus on being creative. When you put information out into a visual landscape of ideas, people can free up more of their brains for the creative energy.
Dave, I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously have a very interesting background in visual thinking, and you're running workshops and consulting, and Sonny does to a certain extent, and James is all about technology and games. Suppose a person comes to you and they work for a lawn sprinkler company, or they manufacture elevators, or they make freight cars or something like that. And they say, your idea sounds cool, it sounds fun, but it's not going to help me make a better freight car. How do you respond to that?
It doesn't matter what kind of business you're in.
Okay.
You're talking about companies that are making things that are very much from the industrial world. And then you have companies that are service oriented. Mm-hmm. But you can almost be certain that at some point, someone's going to come along and do it smarter, differently, better, cheaper, more effectively than you.
Right.
Just look at Blockbuster, for example, that just got delisted from the stock exchange, partly because they just kept doing what they were doing and it was working pretty well. And then along comes Netflix and iTunes, which completely disrupted their business model and essentially put them out of business. So whether you make elevators or lawn sprinklers or you're involved in a local landscaping company, you're still going to have the problem of finding a way to keep up with your competition and leapfrog them and do things that are better, cheaper, faster, a higher level of service than they do. If you just keep doing things the way that you're doing, I can guarantee that eventually, it may take a long time, but eventually someone will find a way to do it better. It might as well be you.
Exactly.
In the short term, that might not be as efficient and it might not be as cost effective as continuing to do things the way you're doing. And as long as things are working, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't keep doing things the way you're doing.
But you should always have those ideas in the pipeline.
You should always apportion a certain amount of your time to thinking about the future.
Right. Now, Dave, is there anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yes. One of the best things about GameStorming, I think, is that it's a toolkit for co-creation. And one of the best sources for innovation and most untapped for most companies is their customers. Mm-hmm. Because if you want to get into a design conversation with customers, it's really hard to find a way to do that.
Yeah.
Customers don't speak the language of design. It's not that easy to get conversations going between researchers and designers and customers.
That's true.
But when you do it effectively, get customers engaged in the conversation of where your business needs to go to increase the value they get. It's one of the most powerful ways to move your business forward that I can think of.
Right.
GameStorming is one of the best tools I know of to get multiple people, including customers, involved in where you're going to take your company.
We've been speaking to Dave Gray, co-author with Sonny Brown and James Macanufo of the new book, GameStorming, a playbook for innovators, rule breakers, and change makers. Dave, thanks for being with us on Edgewise today.
It's a pleasure, Dave. Thank you.
AMA training courses are now available direct to your desktop. Our virtual seminars deliver the power of AMA training without the travel, without time away from the office, but with the ability to catapult your skill set and career to new heights. For more information, visit amanet.org/virtual-seminars. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.